You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
8 o'clock hour here on Sean and RJ. Bobby is something pumping on the Fan Cam Twitch and YouTube. Thanks for being a total that stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. In the 9 o'clock hour, another college baseball ticket giveaway for you checking us out. You are appreciated.
Yeah,
we appreciate it. Boomer Esiason trying to steal our thunder a little bit in the Sports Minute as Kellen Moore officially hired as the next head coach of the New Orleans Saints. So we have something else to judge now. Not just, we got Brian Schottenheimer versus the world. We got Shoddy versus Vrabel. Shoddy versus Ben Johnson. Shoddy versus Aaron Glenn, who told Aaron Rodgers, nah, nah, see you later, get up out of here. And probably the biggest and most important one, Shoddy versus Kellen, who is apparently looking to bring in former Chargers head coach Brandon Staley as his defensive coordinator. Of course, Staley had Kellen in L.A.
How quickly do you think we're going to get revisionist history if the Saints perform really well? Because remember how you were being kind of critical of, like, guys, don't pretend like you wanted Dan Quinn back. I think if the Saints have success, we're going to hear a lot of complaint about, like, well, why didn't you go get Kellen?
Yeah.
We all wanted him.
Yep, and I'm not going to accept it. And I'm not going to let people, just like I got to remind some people over the Luka criticism, when he'd be complaining to refs or not getting back on defense, everyone wants to act like they never brought that up in the playoffs or the postseasons in different series. Well, that was nothing compared to kicking Dan Quinn and Kellen Moore out of town. So, and
because you could hate Luka's antics and still not want him to be moved.
Yes, but there were people who said you're never going to win a championship with him. There were some. It wasn't close to 50%. It definitely was not the majority, but there were those saying, this is not the type of guy, he's never going to win a championship. There were those critical of him with that. But if Kellen wins big in New Orleans, no. Nobody wanted Kellen Moore here, except for Bobby, as the head coach of the Cowboys. So let that be stated. That's a fact.
I did want him.
I'd have been okay with it. He wasn't my first choice.
Or second.
Who was my first choice?
McCarthy would have been my first choice.
I will say it's stunning. I was on a Reddit page yesterday, and again, I don't want to say I told you so too much, but on this Reddit page, there was this post about Schottenheimer, and it was universal. Everybody going, you know, I got a pretty good feeling about Schottenheimer. You know, this isn't so bad. As soon as he started talking, people were going to come around. Now, as soon as they start losing, if they start losing games in September next year, people will flip immediately, but they were going to feel better about it as the offseason went on.
And Dak Prescott commented on his new head coach yesterday while at his annual children's cancer event with Troy Aikman.
I think the best way to exemplify that is the son of a legendary football coach. He's not going to take anything about this game lightly. He enjoys the work in it. Kind of old fashioned. I'm looking forward to the grind and some things that we're going to do and he's going to add, and excited for him. I know he's ready for it. He's been an assistant for a long time, and something else I admire is the way that he went on with the interviewing process. When you've been an assistant for 25 to 30 years, I know there's a quarterback coach, I know there's a receiver coach, a D coordinator, and a safety that you can call up without them thinking twice and they're going to come work for you. But for him to go through the due diligence of getting the guys in, interviewing them, and then taking it amongst the other guys that are there and making final decisions, I think speaks highly of his approach and the way that he's going to take care of things.
So there's Dak on Shoddy.
I think, and this is something that people have universally, I think, pretty much given him a thumbs up for, and we talked about it Monday. We didn't talk about it as much yesterday, but the idea of just, I think it's, the hiring process has been really refreshing for the assistant coaches this time around. Like, whether it was Garrett, who was hiring his brother, or McCarthy, who was hiring old friends, like, there's not been a lot of buddy system hires so far for Brian Schottenheimer on the staff. He looks like he's, all right, let me get ideas that'll challenge me a little bit, or just coaches that have really good reputations, whether I've worked with him or not.
Yeah, I don't care if you had a relationship with him. If they're a good coach, like Parcells, when he came here, I mean, there wasn't a player that, there wasn't a coach that he didn't seem to have a relationship with. From Sean Payton to Mo Carthon to, I mean, didn't...
You've got a big enough tree at some point. Like, well, you can't just not hire anybody.
And that hacked off a lot of people, because, like, the old Cowboys, like the Michael Irvins and the Emmets, I mean, he's bringing Pepper Johnson into camp to just, like, hey, let's just come talk to the players.
Yep.
Instead of bringing old Cowboys in, the Cowboys are like, we've got, like, a history here, man. But I don't care if Schottenheimer brings in people he knows or doesn't know. Just as long as they're good coaches, that's all that matters.
All right, let's get to the grades.
All right, so a couple of different publications have done some grades. And kind of you want to put them all together. The Bears with Ben Johnson, they get an A-. CBS Sports gives them an A-.
A-. Oh.
So A- for Ben Johnson and Chicago. I think that's universally seen as like, all right, that was the most no-brainer hire.
So why a minus? Why not just say it's an A? Like, I don't even understand that part of it.
That's a great question. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't give it an A+. You know, it was a good search. They interviewed a lot of people. You cannot argue with the Bears process.
No, they interviewed everybody. They got their guy. It was the top candidate.
Yeah. Next one, the Raiders and Pete Carroll. They get a B+ on their hire.
That's fascinating, because they didn't seem to get who they wanted. Like, Pete Carroll felt very much like somebody there. They're just like, all right, okay, we'll hire Pete, I guess.
Yeah, I think Pete Carroll is like he has the highest floor of any of the coaches.
Sure.
Yeah. Like, you know, he's just going to be, he'll be just a solid coach. He may not be.
Not good enough for here, though, apparently.
No.
As I think Pete tried to backstab Shoddy on his Jerry call.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one with Vrabel and the Patriots. They give him a B+. Now, he was the first one off the board. They got him quick. But they said, you know, again, here, the process. You know, he was one that they absolutely loved. They had pinpointed, but it seems like they panicked when the Jets interviewed Vrabel, and they quickly did their two fraudulent Rooney Rule candidates and said, okay, here we go. Let's get right to Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, and Russini reported that Robert Kraft heard just buzz about Dallas and Kraft, or Dallas and Vrabel, and so then he was like, well, shoot, sign him up, because I don't want to even leave this up to Jerry.
The silliness of a sports offseason that can all of a sudden make us fall back in love with you. Why didn't they just... Mike Vrabel didn't get hired last offseason, and Mike Vrabel didn't get hired over Gerard Mayo. And all you got to do is go away for a year, and oh my gosh, what could be? What could be? And now Mike Vrabel is loved by all of us again, myself included. Yeah. Although, I watched some Vrabel interviews, and I was like, that probably... He can be a jackass.
And
he just might be a jackass.
He got crushed by the analytics community when this clip resurfaced of him going, I think the numbers out there say, like, the record when you just run the ball 40 times, and the analytics community is like, that's you running the ball while you're up. That's not running the ball to get up.
Yeah, that's totally different. The Jets get a B on the Aaron Glenn. And the funny thing is that, you know, when you're talking about the Jets, like, I just am going to ding you a grade just because Woody Johnson likes you.
Just because the Jets came to the decision that you were the guy, that probably means you weren't.
Probably means you stink. But, you know, like the Jets, I mean, they hire a defensive coach. Shocker. It's kind of what they always do. But that is somebody that was very...
Do you think Woody Johnson's kids picked the best defensive teams in Madden? How many times did you ever do that? You're like, all right,
well, would have been the Lions.
I'm going to get the 85 Bears. I'm going to get a team to shut you down offensively.
Oh.
I would try to play with different styles in video games.
Oh, so yeah,
I wanted to play with Nebraska's triple option. I wanted to air it out with everyone. I wanted to get the strong running game one day. I wanted to get the shutdown defense. I wanted to pick the corner on the outside and track the receiver. I wanted to try to win different ways.
If you did the fantasy draft on Madden, like where it opened up the whole league and you were just... you know, all right, one draft is I'm going to draft an edge rusher, a corner, and a linebacker the first couple of ones, and then the next league I'm playing in, it'll be quarterback, receiver, tackle.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yep. Jacksonville, Liam Cohen gets a B minus. And part of the reason here is not the
Duval. I was going to say, was that a B before he went Duval?
No, it was the fact that this guy obviously showed he cannot be trusted at
Duval.
All.
Duval.
Like the way he completely ghosted Tampa. He's like, I'm going back to them. He's like, I'm pulling my name out of the Jaguars thing. Trent Baalke sucks. Going back to Tampa. And then he, like, they're
trying
to get
a hold. Are we putting this in a Josh McDaniels category? Or are we putting this in an every coach category? Bill Belichick can't be trusted either. Mike McCarthy lied about his film watching.
Be a man, though. Answer the phone when they call you.
I agree.
That's the only thing. Just answer the phone. You work there presently. Don't just, I'm really difficult to get a hold of right now.
Not a dentist appointment like Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, right. Answer the phone.
Kellen Moore. A B plus.
Who's doing these grades?
CBS Sports.
Okay.
B plus for Kellen Moore. Now, obviously, you know, this was the last hire, absolutely the last hire by a wide margin. But who else really was in on it? Kingsbury, McCarthy for a minute. Who else was in on this job?
Yeah, I mean,
Liam Cohen interviewed there, I think.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you've decided that it's one of these Super Bowl coordinators that you're going to hire, you are just going to naturally be sitting around and be the last one that hires because you're going to go, all right, well, I got to wait for this guy to be done.
And then we get to the Cowboys.
If I told you at the beginning of the process that the Cowboys would bypass Kellen Moore for Brian Schottenheimer when Kellen was the betting favorite everywhere, it just would have added to the shock value of this.
Absolutely.
How far away does that shock value feel, by the way, after the Sluka thing? To me, it feels so far away and like
so distant.
Nowhere near as shocking when really that deserves its own category of shocking.
It's so, like, I was thinking about this last night when the hire was made. Could you imagine if, as upset as people were initially going to be with the Kellen Moore hire, and then they were upset with the Schottenheimer hire, but as mad as they were saying they were going to be, could you imagine if this entire time the Cowboys were running around and they didn't have a head coach? Like imagine if the Cowboys just today hired their head coach and they had gone a month without it. People would have been just losing their minds about the fact of, like, why don't we have a coach? Where are we going to get?
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These candidates for where we're gonna, like, they would have been nuts over that.
So Brian Schottenheimer,
a D.
Ugh. I don't think anybody else got below a B, right? Ugh. Was there even a C on this thing?
That was pretty friendly.
Who's the author?
Will Brinson.
Okay, that's my drinking buddy,
friend of the show.
Yeah. So this is the write up. Oy vey, the first line. Oy vey. Maybe I'm dead wrong, and Schottenheimer, who I like a lot as a person, ends up being a great coach. His dad, Marty, outstanding coach, gets a bad rap, but the Cowboys' process was a disaster. They waffled on McCarthy the same way they waffled on Dak and CD, and he simply walked away from coaching altogether with rumors he spoke to confidants about what a sideshow circus the Cowboys are percolating in the wake of his departure. Cowboys promptly got involved with a Deion Sanders candidacy, while also allowing Belichick rumors to run rampant to the point that Carolina had to get him to actually sign his contract in the middle of the coaching search. Ultimately, Jerry decides to promote his in-house offensive coordinator, who has no head coaching experience, who will likely do whatever the owner/GM wants him to do from an offensive standpoint. Shoddy obviously has the bloodlines to succeed, but it's very fair to question the process and whether Jerry is capable of running a normal search and putting together a serious football team at this point.
I will say, I think that criticism has been a little... I think has been a little off base. The idea of, well, okay, here's your puppet. I don't get the sense like Schottenheimer is going to be like, maybe with, they talk about like with certain things in terms of coaching staff, or whatever else. But if we're talking about like decisions in terms of offensive philosophy, so I think they're wanting him in there because they think he can handle it. Now their evaluation may be wrong, but I don't think they're putting him in here going like, he's going to do exactly what we tell him to do on offense. I think they want him running it.
All right, there are the coaching grades with the hiring cycle now complete here on DFW Sports Station, your home of the Cowboys and Rangers and Meat Church Wednesdays.
Show me your meat.
Zach Martin is moving on to the barbecue game, and let's cook up some chicken fried steak or chicken fried venison. We do it with Matt Pittman. Meat Church joins us live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube after this. It is a Meat Church Wednesday with Matt Pittman, who sent over the amazing care package, the sweatshirt that RJ Choppy was wearing on IG Live. Bobby's going to be rocking it, the Meat Church hats as well. And he joins us here on the Hump Day Edition, 105.3 The Fan.
You know, my favorite part of that sweatshirt is it's a little oversized.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, you could throw 10 pounds on in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And still wear it. And nary the pooch,
yeah,
that pops out. I like that.
I would have liked to try that, but Matt sent over two that I felt compelled to give to you guys. So Meat Church, I guess, posting about Trump, he's got a skimp on the give outs now. He's joining us, Matt Pittman, on 105.3 the sweatshirt tariffs.
I love the word tariff, one of the great words.
What's up, brother? Anything.
Yeah, I sent three. One must have got taxed on the way or something.
Did you have any Luka or Dallas Maverick ties in the barbecue world to them?
No. I have some friends that are really close with him, but I've never done anything for him. We were in talks to do something for Christmas a year ago, didn't happen. But, man, I was so bummed by that. We were at my daughter's volleyball tournament. I was up late in a hotel where she's playing, and I saw the news immediately, and I was like gutted. That GM got fleeced, if nothing else. Mm. But I'm just going to say this. I find myself wanting to buy one of those Luka Lakers t-shirts, and I hate the Lakers. Mm. Like I didn't yeah. want to be a Lakers fan, and all of a sudden I feel like I am.
I'm a food moron, I admit it. Do you find, though, in your dealings that it's more difficult to convert somebody who's not from Texas to barbecue or somebody who's not from the U.S. to barbecue?
Neither are very hard in my experience. I just think people like smoked meats. And so Texas barbecue is such a cuisine. I don't think it's hard. And I will tell you the times that I've traveled internationally with what we do, you know, American barbecue in general is really hot outside of the U.S. You know, I've told you guys before that I have taught barbecue in Sweden. And when wow. friends of mine opened a restaurant there, they didn't know what barbecue was. They grilling or barbecue to them was to buy these little disposable, they look like a disposable steam pan that have charcoal in them with like a little grate on it. And they would go sit in a park, you know, the one day of the year they get sunlight, and they would grill in a park, and that was barbecue to them. So they had no concept of like low and slow barbecue. So everywhere I go, people love it.
What did your Super Bowl spread look like?
Man, it was not strong, to be honest with you. It's just because I'm gonna tell you a funny story. I say not strong. We didn't do anything. We spent the weekend out at our lake house. So we came home, just my wife and I. I made wings and brisket queso, and that was it. And it's because ever since Meat Church has taken off, we don't get invited to barbecues or Super Bowl parties. And that is a true, if you could believe that, it's the craziest thing. So I don't even get invited to a Super Bowl party. So I'm like, I'm just going to take it easy with my wife. And y'all know I didn't want to watch that game. So I kind of mailed it in.
Are you taking that as they don't want you judging their food, or they're just assuming you're doing a gigantic cookout? Because I had a friend who's a big time chef. He never got Ooh, invited. Wow. He never got invited to other dinners at people's homes because they're too terrified that they won't be able to present yeah. a dinner for him.
It's that. I've been told that so many times. Like now casual fans listening will be like, come to my house. But like people that I know, I've been told a million times they think I'm going to judge them. And what's crazy is that's not what it's about for me. Like if I went over to somebody's house, and I always say this, if somebody grilled a hamburger and turned it into a charcoal briquette, I wouldn't care because we're there hanging out, drinking beer, you know, that's what it's about. I'm not judging my friend's food ever. So it's definitely they're afraid that I'm going to, you know, judge them.
I did make your, my wife's favorite is the smoked cream cheese. So I threw that on for 2 hours, jalapeno glaze with the big wicks. She absolutely loved that. So Meat Church Super Bowl.
Speaking of Super Bowl, go ahead.
No, I was saying it's hard to beat. Like the,
so easy,
you know, cream. Like you got to have it at like every occasion. I mean, I saw there was another person in a position similar to me when that stuff first came out that said smoked cream cheese is lazy. We can do better. And I'm like, that may be the most ignorant statement I've ever heard in outdoor cooking, because I've never heard someone turn it down.
Speaking of Super Bowl spread, where did we go wrong while we were in New Orleans? Sean was very excited when we got to New Orleans about the food setup, and he thought we were going to have a great week with just, you know, awesome seafood and other things. And when we got done with the end of the week, it seemed pretty unanimous among everybody. They're like, the food scene disappointed a little bit. Your thoughts on, in general, the New Orleans food scene and where we may have messed up?
I'm a big fan. Right after Katrina, I feel like my wife and I were some of the first people to go. You know, there's all this advertisement like come to New Orleans, and we did go immediately and kind of fell in love with the city. But, you know, people that haven't been, and I'm not throwing you guys in that bucket, but people go to the French Quarter, which is like not where you should go. I mean, you should go have a drink and see it, but that's it. But, you know, a lot of good food, like in the Garden District and things like that. I tell people that I'm highly influenced by Cajun cuisine. So if you can find good places, good restaurants, I'm a huge fan. Like even the Emerald restaurants and, I'm a huge fan of Emerald. But, you know, I can't imagine going down to Super Bowl week. I'm sure every place was packed, and it was probably tough to get like a really good meal.
Now, they also just their whole mode of cooking is just butter and fry it. Like that's,
well, that's okay. I'm all right with that.
You know, it's David Hellman, who used to work for DallasCowboys.com, asked him, because I was like, this jambalaya I had was not good in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Look, tourist trap. He said jambalaya and gumbo get thrown on menus in New Orleans and people don't know how to make them. He said that's the thing they don't tell you. It's a trap to pull people in. Do you think is there anything like that in Texas where someone just goes, oh, I'm going to put a brisket on my menu because people go, oh, Texas brisket, they'll order it and it doesn't matter if it's good or not.
Yeah, and like same thing, like you can go to comfort food places and you see chicken fried steak all over and not all chicken fried steaks are created equal. So yeah, 100%. Oh, by the way, Hellman's blowing up. I've been seeing him everywhere.
Yeah.
Mr. Hellish.
And I know you guys talked a while back as you were putting together the deal to become the official pitmaster of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's segue in to chicken fried steak, because one of the sit downs I got from my boss here at the station was, your chicken fried steak take, don't say it on air anymore since you are now in Texas. I've never been the biggest fan of it. I feel like it's just a bite of grease. Maybe I haven't had the right one. Choppy, you had a chicken fried venison conundrum the other day.
We did. Now I just cooked it. I just cooked it on the Blackstone. Me. I just took a deer steak, put it right on the Blackstone.
It looked good.
It was great. Everybody else did the chicken fried deer. And that was, I mean, look, it tasted good.
Everyone I know, I don't know anyone else who, maybe you don't love chicken fried stuff, but my wife.
I like the white gravy. I like it without the gravy.
Okay. Tell us a secret of chicken fried, Matt.
Yeah, I'm happy to. My boss tells me it's the best thing I make, but you know, most people make it with beef. Ironically,
who's your boss?
My wife, Mrs. Meat. But ironically, today's video is chicken fried venison that'll be coming out at 10 a.m. But aside from that, if I'm not cooking venison, I'm going to the store and I'm buying like a tenderized round steak. You want something tenderized, preferably. If not, if you're using some sort of, you know, steak cut, you want to get a mallet and pound it very thin. But then the key is a double dredge. So that means you want to put the meat in flour, then in egg wash, then back in flour. But I have a few keys. I don't just use flour. I will season the heck out of it with a seasoning you think makes sense. Like we use our Voodoo. And then you want to like put the steak in it and pat it down in it so that you're getting all the crevices covered. So it's nice and covered. Then you go, you pick the steak up and you put it in an egg wash. So just take, whisk a couple eggs, mix in either a little beer or a little milk with it to loosen the eggs up. Thoroughly coat that in the egg wash and then go back in that flour dredge a second time. That time you really got to make sure to pat it in so you've got total coverage. And then you want to fry it between 325 and 350. Generally, when it's golden brown and looks pretty, it's done. You don't usually have to temp it because it's steak. So as long as you're, over 120 or so, you're probably happy. But usually people take it much further. I unlike what Choppy just said, I think a key is serving it with cracked pepper gravy, which is another recipe on our website. I love the cream gravy with it, mashed potatoes. It's probably the messiest thing I cook. I mean, it destroys my kitchen with flour everywhere. But it's delicious and like super popular with deer. And let me give you a little like crazy tip. Dean Faring, good friend of mine at Faring's there at the Ritz. He's a godfather of Southwestern cuisine. So a couple of years ago, I said, all right, you're known for your chicken fried steak. You've cooked it for like Sammy Hagar. I'm like, what's your key? And he goes, well, Matt, you got to start with filet mignon. And I was like, okay, that's what we talked in the Ritz.
Wow.
It's really good. It's like you don't even need teeth. You can just gum the thing.
I was just about to ask you, what is the meat you can't cross the line of when you're going to fry it? And I would say, I'm not frying a filet. I'm sorry.
Well, I've done it, on social media. Of course, you get ripped up by people saying you don't need to do that. And it's a good experience. It's obviously expensive, but it's a really good eating experience. I'll say that.
Are you bringing Zach Martin on over? Is he retiring from football for barbecue?
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm definitely in negotiations with him to get him on a video. I'm doing a collaboration with the Bearded Butchers where they cut some massive cuts out of a steer. They sent me a Thor's hammer and they sent me a 15-pound caveman steak. And when it got here, I looked at it and I was like, I mean, that is like serious Fred Flintstone. I'm like, man, I need an offensive lineman to eat it. So I reached out and he said he'd hop in. He was at the Super Bowl last week doing appearances. So we got to get back on the phone and figure out when we're going to do it. But hopefully that's coming soon because that'll be fun.
Yeah, he did an appearance with us. He was sitting there eating wings and he actually...
With your boy Aubrey.
Yeah, he became massively disturbed by RJ Choppy because Choppy was talking about how he will eat the boneless wings. And Zach Martin did a double take and went, dude,
thought what? I knew you.
Yeah, basically said he had lost respect for Choppy for saying he would eat boneless wings.
Oh, well, I'm going to make sure I bring that up in this video.
Yada. Yeah.
Hey, I got a question about smoking during a weather week like this. Liquid smoke or buying a tube for a pellet grill? You're already rolling your eyes over the liquid smoke. If I don't want to go outside and spend 2, 6, 10 hours, liquid smoke does what? Is effective or not? And then my pellet grill does not get enough smoke, but I don't want to go outside and mess with managing the fire in this type of weather. Do those tubes work?
Well, if you use liquid smoke and if you put that on Instagram, you'll get drugged more than Nico Harrison. I'm not a fan of that at all. Like, it's a kind of a crazy flavor. I'd go the pellet grill route for sure. You know, it's not that hard to walk outside, put it on, put your raincoat on, you'll be fine. But I would avoid the liquid smoke route wholeheartedly.
No, but I need more smoke, and people are talking about these tubes to buy for these pellet grills. No. What are they, and do they work?
I don't even own one. When I did have one, it was because, like, if I was cold smoking cheese or I just wanted the smoke coming out. But I tell people on a pellet grill, if you think you're not getting enough smoke, then slow the cook down. Lower the temperature of the cooker. Make sure you're using a very heavy smoke wood like mesquite, oak, or hickory. Don't be trying to get a lot of smoke with a fruit wood because they don't impart as much smoke flavor. So lower your temperature, elongate your cook, you know, allow it to have more time in the smoke is really the key if you don't think it's getting enough smoke.
All right. What are the next plans? I haven't seen you, you know, on vacay. You got new warehouses. You got new launches. Is this the dead season after football? What's coming up?
No, we're really busy at the moment just with internal stuff. But we have a gourmet line of seasoning. It's kind of like seasoning you have in your kitchen, seasoned salt, lemon pepper, garlic and herb, and a seafood seasoning. And they're sold in these little bottles. So next week we launch them in bottles twice as big for only a dollar more. So a lot better value. And I'm starting to do a lot of cooks around that. I might have mentioned to you guys before, but Chance Cosby, that runs the waste management tournament that was last week, he and I filmed stuff last year, and he said, "Hey, why don't you show all this other stuff you cook? Like, I come to you for barbecue, but, you know, he's known to cook like weeknight meals." So the past two video shoots, we've done a lot of what I'll call weeknight meals: Marry Me chicken, chimichurri chicken, chicken and dumplings, and we're using our kind of like, used to be called gourmet seasonings in our new bottles. So you'll see that next week. And yeah, you just mentioned we moved into a new headquarters this week. So pretty excited about that. Got a big new campus, I'll call it, world headquarters. So that's going to be exciting. We're going to be a host events out there and do a lot of fun stuff. So we're definitely as busy as we've ever been. Just don't have a lot of public facing things right this second, but they're coming soon.
Keep crushing it. Thank you for the amazing care package and the gear. And we'll talk next time. Thank you, Matthew.
See you guys.
Matt Pittman, a.k.a. Meat Church, on a Meat Church Wednesday here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. With a Super Bowl in the rear view, who are the Cowboys faced with re-signing once free agency begins? That's next in Below the Belt on 105.3 The Fan. The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Could you lose as many as your top 7 free agents if you're the Cowboys? I think that's probable.
Now, I'm worried about this segment because if we go back to last year at this time, I was like, Dante Fowler, he can go. Dorrance, okay, fine. Biotish, bye-bye. And then the Commander sat there and won the NFC East. So I'm a little bit worried about packing everybody's bags so quickly with the depth that left.
How many of them end up signing with the Saints?
Yeah.
Like Zach Martin all of a sudden regains his form as a New Orleans Saints guard.
Yep.
That's probably what would happen. All right, before we get to that, before we get to an evaluation of where the Cowboys free agents are, there's some funny audio that I wanted to play. I was very disappointed we didn't get John Gruden while we were out there. We were trying. We were trying to run him down and flag him down.
Thought he was supposed to go on with Broadus and G-Bag.
Thought he was supposed to go on with them. I don't know what happened there. If Gruden's mad about a pick Broadus made at some point in their careers together, something like that. But they didn't end up working it out.
Broadus has said multiple times to keep John away from personnel.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe that soured him a little. But this is a funny story. Max Crosby was running around Radio Row that same day, and he ended up sitting down with Gruden on Barstool. Well, a couple weeks ago, Gruden said he caught hell and was getting a bunch of different phone calls for threatening to release Max Crosby as a rookie based on this story that Max Crosby told. It was part of my take. I thought it was Busting with the Boys. It was actually part of my take that he told this story to about Gruden threatening to cut him.
Literally threatened to cut me on the middle of the field. One of my first training camp. And his thing, like, he's an offensive coach. And I've always had offensive coaches till AP got here. But he would get so mad about batting balls. Like, we'd be in practice doing team, and he refused to let us bat the ball. But I would tell him, like, why the f*** are we practicing to not bat the balls? But in a game, they're going to be doing the same shit. So what's the point? But he's an offensive guy, so he wants his shit to – he wants practice to move a certain way. So I'm not even thinking. I'm just trying to make plays and whatever. I'm a third string. I'm just trying to do everything. So it was, like, the second week of training camp. I swat a ball down, and I'm f***ing hype, celebrating. And he's all looking at me all irritated, whatever. Happens again, boom, swat a ball down. Then it happens at the end of practice. I swat it for the third time. He's like, stop swatting the f***ing ball down. He goes, I'll cut your ass. I swear to God, if you do it one more time. And I'm looking at him like, all right. And then I just go back to the huddle. Like, he shut down practice and mother f***ing whatever.
So Gruden said he got several texts about this where it's like, oh, what are you doing?
Well, why would he tell him not to stop swatting balls?
I think he wants to see if the play design works.
He wants it. So honestly, they were like, look, we're not going full board. Don't knock it out. We're trying to execute concepts here. We're practicing. So let's not do that. That was at least the theory. Well, Gruden actually explained why he told guys not to swat the ball and also wanted an apology from Max Crosby.
So I'm going to clarify this to everybody. Our tackles, our offensive linemen, were not allowed to cut our defensive linemen below the legs in quick protection. So I told the D-line, since we're not going to ever block low, don't jump up and bat balls down.
Yeah.
But you didn't listen. You jumped up and batted 9 balls down in one practice.
I can't help
it. And finally, I said, if you bat one more ball down, I'm going to cut your ass, meaning we're going to cut your legs out.
For 5 years, I legitimately thought you meant you were going to cut me on the field. I did not know that. I thought that's what you meant in the moment. So I was like, you know, we're in practice. You know me. I can't help myself. So I'm going balls to the wall. And you screamed in front of everybody, I'm going to cut your ass. Yeah. And I'm thinking, like, I probably called CJ. I might be released this afternoon.
I want you to look in the lens right there and apologize to me.
I apologize. I mean, I wouldn't be here without you.
I mean, I get accused of running Khalil Mack off. I get accused of cutting Max Crosby. I don't want Tom Brady. What do you guys think? I'm some dumbass here or what?
And then he goes, and I cut it out because the visual can't see it. He's wearing the Super Bowl patches jersey, and he points to his Super Bowl patch, and he goes, do I look like a dumbass to you?
There's a great addition to this. Gruden's, like, personal bus driver. He said he's the only guy I know that's watching random action on a Wednesday night. And the Raiders are going through their draft, and the bus driver tells Gruden, hey, Crosby, take this Crosby kid. And John's like, okay, whatever. So they're drafting so-and-so in the first, and then so-and-so in the second, and so-and-so in the third. And the bus driver, who keeps to himself and is usually dead quiet, tells John again, Crosby's better than all those guys. You're wasting picks. You're wasting it. So they eventually get Crosby. Crosby is like benching like a Kevin Durant weight amount. Like, look at this picture of Crosby at the combine. Look at his arms. And they got like 100 on the bench press. And they draft Crosby, and the rest of the Raiders are like, you, what the hell are you doing? Look at this string bean that you brought in here. And it was John Gruden's bus driver who was watching lower level college football nonstop like a junkie, who kept saying, Max Crosby's the truth.
If they did not pick him there, he was probably going to Dallas with their next pick.
Why you gotta bring that up?
Because it's sad. It's sad. Just like we gotta bring up, let's hear another factoid about how sad the Luka trade is. Sometimes you just want to wallow in the misery when it's bad. Let's really marinate in it. But I thought that was funny. I love Gruden on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Gruden talking. It's such a great addition for Barstool. It makes so much sense. All right, so let's take a look at the Cowboys' upcoming free agents. So when you look at this list, if you go by their previous average annual value, and you look at where they've been, Dallas is, outside of their specialist, their punter, Brian Anger, who I imagine will be back. Maybe not. Special teams coach is changing. Something could always change. But when you go down the list, it's going to take a while before I think you go, that guy's definitely back. So top guy on this list that's free this year, Brandon Cooks. We want him back or no? This is probably, he's 31 years old.
Not really.
He had a knee issue. Never really able to get the most out of him. I think he's gone.
No.
Zach Martin. Nope. I got the sense when we were out there talking to him, which we just referenced with Matt Pittman Meat Church, I got the sense talking from him. He is very much considering still playing, but it doesn't sound like it'll be here in Dallas.
Yeah. I mean, if he's 100% healthy, like, what is he?
Exactly. I think at this point, there was a moment in the Detroit game, he punched himself in the helmet, which is what offensive linemen do if they have a really bad missed assignment. They'll punch themselves in the helmet. It's the first time I'd seen Zach Martin punch himself on tape, and he did it twice in one game. And I was like,
yeah,
man, that's a different guy.
The big sit-down discussion, in my opinion, besides money and re-signing and all that, has to be how much was last year injury? How much was last year injury, and how much was last year decline? Right now, I would lean towards decline and replace.
Yep.
Sorry, big fella.
And I think we'll hear a lot about that. So I'm just going to run down some.
And what would be your decision on that?
It's time to walk away. He's just not the same player anymore. I love him, but he's older than Tyron Smith. He got drafted 4 years after Tyron Smith. He's older than him. Like, that tells you where he's at in his career. Running down some of the list of names. Stop me when you hear somebody that you think is returning next year. We've gone Brandon Cook, Zach Martin, DeMarcus Lawrence.
No.
Probably out. Trey Lance. Probably not. Eric Kendricks. Probably not. Again, a guy who came here mainly based on Zimmer.
Yeah, I don't know about Kendricks.
I don't believe that Kendricks is back. Jordan Lewis.
I hope so.
I think they're interested.
They need to.
I don't know if it's going to match up and work for them.
I love Jordan Lewis.
Cooper Rush. I think that's the first one we get to that probably. Then it's Linval Joseph. Probably gone. CJ Goodwin. Well, he's got a roster spot every year.
Need someone to catch the fake special team punts.
You go down this list and you go, Chuma Edoga, probably gone. Oso Digizua, looking more likely. That'll be one of the things that we need to run down when we're in Indianapolis 2 weeks from today. We'll be landing in Indianapolis for the combine. That'll be one of the things that when we're hanging around bars or we're out there at you know, the facility, whether it be Lucas Oil or in the convention center, that's the thing you're going to want to keep your ear out and hear about is like, what's Osa going to be going for?
I mean, I'm assuming Osa's 99% gone.
I think that Osa's going
to
make...
They're not going to be able to afford it.
So there was it was the Tampa Bay
game. They're going to go to Washington?
There was the, I mean...
Tank and Osa?
Seattle? Go play with Adam Dirty again, who's the defensive coordinator and was Osa's defensive line. I think Seattle would be massively in play for him. And that's something where you're going to start seeing, again, with these free agents coming open... You've got assistants now that are in powerful positions that had worked with these guys before, whether it be Dan Quinn in Washington, Kellen in New Orleans, Adam Dirty there in Seattle. Like, their assistants have now populated the NFL. This happened after Parcells left. You saw so many assistants that got jobs and then started picking off the roster and thinning it out. It
happens.
And but that's
sometimes
sort of thing.
It's good. Sometimes it's good. Like, you Parcells always wanted turnover at the bottom of the roster. Middle and bottom, he wanted turnover.
I don't know that out of any of their... unrestricted free agents.
Why did he?
He thought it was good. He thought it was good to get... if you brought back your same roster at the bottom the next year, you were missing a chance to improve.
I don't know that outside of their specialists, Trent Sieg, their long snapper, who so many teams just generally say, all right, once you're here, you're a career guy here. Punter, Brian Anger. I don't know that there's a slam dunk on their unrestricted free agent list that says that guy's definitely back. Like, I think it's... If you tell me there's three of them... I'll say, yeah, one of those three probably back, but I don't know which one. Because out of the guys we've already mentioned, you then go down the list. Oso Digizua, Rico Dowdle, Chauncey Golston, Carl Lawson, Amani Oruwariye, who nobody seems to want back after the whole punt incident, Israel Mukwamu. None of those guys are slam dunks for that guy's coming back next year.
Rico's free?
Rico's a free agent, unrestricted free agent. Rico Dowdle, I think at this point, is probably in the range of $6 million a year.
Oh, no.
You're not going to be able to do it?
No.
If I tell you it's $6 million.
I can find a Rico.
If I tell you, and obviously there's a variance here, and you don't have to commit to this, but if I tell you $6 million and your running back position is set and you go into the draft, do whatever you want.
It's not
or,
set, though.
Or you're picking Genty, and so you're using your first-round pick on a running back. You would just rather use the first? Just rather,
yeah, he's younger. He's younger. I just can't. I'm not going to pay money on a 26-year-old running back or whatever.
Dowdle has such a violent running style too that we saw, and with an injury history, it's
injury.
Like, do you want to lock into an injury riddled player?
Right.
I mean, that'd be like trading away a superstar for an injury riddled player that maybe doesn't have a history of staying healthy ever, and paying him a lot of money to do it.
That would never happen.
That's kind of what you're looking at.
Below the belt with our Cowboys insider on the home of we think your favorite football team. It's DFW Sports Station with Sean and RJ. Final hour of the Hump Day edition. Hump Day. Does RJ Choppy have a way for Nico to survive all of this, even after what happened last night at a college basketball game. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.